Good morning, church.
Good morning.
A privilege once again to be in the house of the Lord. This morning we're going to be in the Old Testament, so please open your Bibles. If you open in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, that will be 1 Kings and chapter 10. And I will read from verse 1 to verse 13. The title of this message this morning, Wisdom Exceeds Fame. Wisdom exceeds fame. Since we have so many people who wants to be famous, so what is it going to be? Wisdom or fame? We read together from verse 1 to verse 10. Sorry, verse 13. It reads as follows. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothes, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and your wisdom. But I did not believe the report until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and your prosperity surpasses the report that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spice and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ephah, brought from Ephah a very great amount of almug wood and precious stones. And the king made of the almug wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, all lyre and harps for the singers. No such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. And the king, King Solomon, gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked beside what was given her by the bounty of Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. Friends, there are so many people today who strives for fame, and many have sold their lives to the devil, as it were. In other words, they will do whatever it takes just to be on the spotlight. People will act like idiots. People will act foolish in order to be famous. The world's government will pass abominable rules, abominable human rights, just to be famous or to win men. I know of celebrities. I know that celebrities will act in a foolish way in public at times, just to have people speaking about them. We know these things, they happen around. They will act as if they are fighting, or will act, do some acts so that people are speaking about them, all in the name of fame. But the Queen of Sheba is yet to teach us something this morning. To teach us that wisdom exceeds fame, to teach us that we should seek for, should be wisdom rather than the fame that the world can provide. Because the wisdom that is from God, or the wisdom that you should seek after, will automatically produce fame if you have true and divine wisdom that comes from God. And I think that is the very reason then why will the Apostle James say in James chapter 1, verse 5, he will say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. I have read somewhere that true wisdom comes from knowledge. But the Bible, friends, disagrees. It says true wisdom comes from God. You read Proverbs 18, verse 4. It says, the words of man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. In other words, the fountain of wisdom is a flowing stream. And such wisdom is what is needed in our day. And such wisdom is what is needed in our own lives. Because the world is driven by foolishness and worldly wisdom. Most people claim to be wise. Actually, it is an insult if you say someone is a fool, even though maybe she or he is. Everyone wants to be considered wise in this world. But as you look around, you search, you ask questions, you are wondering, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the debater of this day? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Those are the words of the Apostle Paul, asking, looking at the foolishness of this world, saying, where are you? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? But friends, there are also those who seek genuine, true wisdom, and they know they cannot find it in this world, but from the King of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ, the wisdom of God. And I hope and I pray that we all seek such wisdom, the wisdom that comes from Christ, the wisdom of God. Let me give you a little bit of a context of where we are. These verses before us deals with the climax of Solomon's wisdom. The chapter shows how far news of Solomon's wisdom had spread. It has spread throughout the world. This is the King of Israel in Jerusalem, but his wisdom has spread throughout the world. People of the world, they know there is a king that is wise somewhere. So as we think of the name of Solomon and the name of the king, of the queen that came to see him, the Queen of Sheba, as we think of this thing, we remember a wise king. We remember a brave but humble Queen of Sheba. Their character springs forth in the New Testament, even in the preachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is speaking about Solomon. How wise was he, and how wise was the Queen of Sheba. His wisdom shone forth throughout the world. And surely, these people, the Queen of Sheba and the King of Israel, these are remarkable and famous names in the history of mankind. And this morning, friends, under three headings, I want to show you why wisdom exceeds fame and why you should be seeking for wisdom rather than fame. Firstly, it is that true wisdom shines forth the name of the Lord. Only wisdom shines forth the name of the Lord. We read verse number 1. It says, you can look at your Bibles. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him, and with hard questions. Wisdom shines forth the name of the Lord. People heard of his fame concerning the name of the Lord. His fame was the effect of his wisdom. It was not because he was famous then he was wise, but it was because he was wise that he was famous. But the wisdom is what brought forth the fame. You can read in verse number 6. Look at your Bible in verse number 6. And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and your wisdom. The report was true. Indeed, you are a wise king. His wisdom shone forth and attracted people from afar. Why? To come and see. Wisdom should attract people to come and see, but also to ask as many questions as they could. So what kind of wisdom will shine forth the name of the Lord? Friends, I will argue that it is divine wisdom. Wisdom from God, not the wisdom of this world. You can remember how God came into the life of Solomon, how God visited him by night, whereby Solomon asked for wisdom, and the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. And God gave Solomon then wisdom in ruling his people, and he gave him all the things, all other things he could ever ask for, just because he asked for wisdom. Then the people of God and the world began to see the wisdom of Solomon. Remember how he solved that dispute over a child between the two women in chapter 3 as well? How he solved those things? In his wisdom, Solomon solved problems. In his wisdom, Solomon's fame grew. The scripture makes it clear, friends, that it was because of his wisdom that the country was at peace. It was because of his wisdom, not his fame, that the country was at peace. His wise deeds always pointed to the name of the Lord. The things that he did pointed to God, not to himself. He made sure that in all that he did, the name of the Lord was honored. In all that he did, the name of the Lord was lifted up. In all that he did, the name of the Lord was valued. In all that he did, the name of the Lord was taken by people and seen as something of great reverence, to give reverence to God because of the wisdom of Solomon. How beautiful could that be, my friends, if God can give such wisdom, a wisdom that leads to peace. If God can give such wisdom even in our own country. A wisdom whereby the Christian, whereby the children of God, in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be peacemakers in this world, drawing men to God, making sure that they pull and attract people from afar to come and see the wisdom of God. But I also want you to notice that Solomon was rich. And that's very important, my friends. The Bible tells us in verse 5, he was rich. In verse 21, it goes forth to explain the amount of gold, the amount of things that Solomon have. But his riches was not really the big news. His riches is not what reached the world that the world knew Solomon. It was the wisdom, again, that reached to the world. The Queen of Sheba did not come all the way to see the palace of Solomon, filled with gold, walls of gold, spoons and cups of gold, throne covered with gold. He didn't come to see that. Although that was the eye catcher, but that's not why she came to see here. All that drew her to Solomon was wisdom. What Solomon spoke was more precious than the gold that Solomon possessed. What he spoke brought many people to the knowledge that there is a God in heaven. What we speak, does it bring forth the knowledge that there is a God in heaven? What he spoke shone brighter than the gold that he possessed. Does your money speak, or does your faith speak? Verse 5 tells us that Solomon offered his burnt offerings at the house of the Lord. I want you to see wisdom also there. Solomon offered burnt offering at the house of the Lord. Friends, that is not what famous people do, but wise people. Even when they are famous, when they do this, that is when we consider them wise. If you bring burnt offering, in other words, if you worship God, if you bring praises to God, you are the wisest man in this world, regardless of who you are. You may be in a higher seat or in a lower seat. He brought offering to the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the king loved the Lord. You read chapter 3, verse 3. It explains to us that the king loved the Lord. He spent his entire life worshiping the Lord. At this stage, until at the end, we're not going to get there. But here we see the king spending his time worshiping the Lord, using his time effectively, using his time for the glory of God. Regardless then of the strangers that came to the house of God, regardless of the strangers' presence in his house, he will not postpone or miss his time of worship. The Bible tells us, I want you to see in verse number 5, the Bible tells us that when the queen of Sheba came, Solomon offered. Solomon didn't even worry that there were visitors. Solomon could not postpone his time to be in the house of the Lord. That's the point I want to bring to you. He will not stay away from the presence of God just because he had visitors. But the visitors had to see that he was a true and a faithful worshiper of the true and the living God. I'm wondering if our visitors knows that. Because friends, I think that must be a challenge to us. Because you cannot afford to be absent from the presence of God and entertain your visitors at home. That is not what Solomon did. He was not absent from the presence of God just to entertain this beautiful queen of Sheba. But friends, you need to show wisdom which shines forth the name of the Lord. How? By putting God first. That's what Solomon did. By putting God first. The wisdom which shines forth in the name of the Lord, again, is the wisdom that answers all the world's questions. The world has questions today. The world wants to know about creation. Who created what? When was it created? The world is obsessed about things. But only true wisdom can answer the world. The world wants to know what happens after this life. Is there really hell or no hell? Is there heaven or no heaven? Does God really exist? Only true wisdom can answer all questions. And the wisdom of Solomon, you read verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, look at your Bible. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built, the food, the officials, the attendants, the servants, the clothing, the house, she was satisfied. Why we say she was satisfied? Look at verse 3. Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. That is the wisdom that shines forth the name of the Lord, a wisdom that can answer all the questions. Friends, let me share this with you. The Queen of Sheba did not come to Solomon to seek for religious opinion. But here's something for you that you must know. Solomon will not let her go back home. Solomon will not let her go back to her country without experiencing a practical way of true worship and hearing the name of the Lord. How many strangers and visitors come to our own house, they go back home without knowing that we are Christian, without knowing that there is a God in heaven. Solomon will not let her go back home to his own country. But he showed her how to worship God truly with your heart as God desires to be worshipped. I wonder if you can sense the love for God streaming out of Solomon's heart. I wonder if you can sense the reverence for God in this man's life, teaching us that truly the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is truly an insight. That is what Solomon is teaching us. He says, truly, there is someone greater and wiser than me. That is what he's doing. If I need to go and worship, and people are giving me praises and adoring me, surely there is someone greater than me. Let me show them someone greater than me. There is someone greater and wiser than me. He's the one that I fear. He's the one that I worship. So I will not trade the time of worship with anything of this world. Not even the beautiful Queen of Sheba. In these days, people are kept at home by their beautiful girlfriends and husbands and whatever they have. They keep them at home not to go to the house of the Lord. Solomon says, you may be so beautiful as you want to be, Queen of Sheba, I will go to the house of the Lord and worship my God. It doesn't matter how much people admire or look up to me. Lord, I give you my heart and I give you my soul. It doesn't matter how people, then they may look down on me or not admire me at all. Lord, I give you my soul. You are the one that I have. You are the one that I always needed in my life. I will praise you in the midst of this generation. I will praise you in the midst of the multitudes. That is Solomon. The point I'm trying to bring to you, my friend, is that once you become a Christian, worship becomes your life, not your option. It becomes your life. Thinking about God becomes your life, not an option. You put God first, aiming to point the world to the King of the Jews, to the King of Israel, the Lord of all, the greater man than Solomon. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this is only possible, my friend, if at the center of your heart is God. You can only put God first. You can only drive people to worship or to see your life only when God is at the center of your heart. Only then you can shine forth the name of the Lord, speaking of his grace, putting him first, bringing his answers to the world. That is the kind of wisdom that shines forth the name of the Lord. But secondly, true wisdom leads to the praise of God. True wisdom leads to the praise of God. I'm convinced, my friends, that the Queen of Sheba was also a wise woman. I think we shall see that springing forth in verse number 9. But as for now, let us read verse number 2 together. Look at your Bibles. The Bible says, she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. What we see here is that when she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she took, put it in your mind, put it in your notes, put it in your Bible. She took it upon herself to travel the whole world to come and see. I'm going to prove to you that is wisdom. She put it upon herself. She traveled the world to come see the wisdom of the King of Israel. She decided to look away. She decided to forget any other God that she ever knew or any other God that she ever worshipped before. She perceived that there is a greater and a wiser and a mightier and a holier God that is worshipped in Israel. And then she traveled to that foreign land. And for that reason, she brought gifts. That's the gifts we're reading about in verse number 2. But most people will think that is what shows her wisdom. Actually, the gifts doesn't show the wisdom. The gifts are the effect of the wisdom. Wisdom was the decision to go where Solomon was, to come and see. The decision to come and see was the wisest decision she ever made. A decision to come and see. In verse 7, it says, the reports were not good enough. The Queen of Sheba heard of the reports. She heard how wise Solomon was. But she says in verse number 7, it was not enough. I had to come and see it for myself. I cannot sit at home. It is not enough. I need to come and step into the grace of the Lord to see. I want to see. It is not enough for me to hear about it. That is why I wake up early in the morning, every Sunday. I want to see. I want to come for myself. I don't want to hear. She decided to come and see. Friends, it is until you decide to come and see, only then you will truly know that something is true. You will not know something is true until you see. Come and see. I remember Philip telling Nathaniel in the book of John. If you know your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. He says to Philip, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Doesn't matter what you say, Nathaniel. Come and see. That was the point that Philip had to say. Come and see. When John and Andrew saw Jesus passing, next to John the Baptist and that ministry in Jordan, they followed Jesus, the Bible tells us, and they asked him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where do you stay? Come and see. The point is, come and see. I don't have to just tell you, you also need to know. Come and see. So the Queen of Sheba understood that there's a lot of legends and myths and stories that doesn't make sense, things that doesn't gel together. I want to come and see. I cannot keep hearing. I want to come and see. But friends, I want to argue with you this morning that we have a greater privilege. We do not have to come and physically see. Look at your Bibles, John chapter 20, verse 29. Look what Jesus says to his disciples. He's answering Thomas, the doubting Thomas. Jesus says in verse number 29, have you believed because you have seen? I'm saying we've got a greater privilege than people who see and believe. Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. Blessed are you sitting here. We have not seen Jesus by night and by day. We have not seen him, yet you believe. Look at what the Apostle Peter also says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what he says. Though you have not seen him, you have not seen Jesus, but you love him. You do. You have not seen him, but you love him. Though you do not now see, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We have a great privilege, friends, but we must learn from this Queen of Sheba. She left her comfort home. She left the comfort of her home. She humbled herself and went out to a foreign land. And because of that step of faith, verse 5 tells us that she saw more than she expected. Her bread was taken away. There was unity. When you read the Bible, it tells you that she saw such great unity and harmony in the house of this king. The servant saved the king willingly. Put it in your mind. The servants served the king in his house willingly. They were filled with great joy in their hearts to serve this king. None of them was pushed to serve the king. They all knew their duties. They were actually happy to serve this king. I wonder if you are happy to serve your king. And some will say, if you will, I'm just putting words in their mouth, but many of them, if it was today, they would have said, for a day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of this king than to be a doorkeeper or spend the rest of my life with people of wickedness. They loved serving. That's what the Queen of Sheba saw. Serving the king with great joy. Serving the king with a willing heart. Is that you, my friend? I leave that with you. But I also want you to notice in verse number 5, something very important as well. All these things, my friends, I will draw you to them later on. Look at verse number 5 again. Notice verse number 5, what verse 5 says. She was seated at the table of the king. She wouldn't have seen the food and how it was served if Solomon did not invite her to the table of the king. She was seated at the table of the king. Oh, what a great and a wonderful choice that she had made to come to this king. If you come to a king like this, you are seated at the table and you are served. And once, my friend, she was seated at the table. This is very important. Once she was seated at the table, she did not go back home empty-handed. Read verse number 13. She did not go back home empty-handed. Verse 13 says, King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, beside what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back home to her own land with her servants. She did not go back home empty-handed because she was seated at the table with the king. Friends, let me express this to you. Wise choices does pay off, especially if your choices are on the basis of what concerns the name of the Lord, because that is what the queen did here. But I also want to notice something of great then importance here in verse number 9. Verse number 9 tells us that the queen of Sheba did not just pay lip service. She didn't just pay lip service to another god, assuming that maybe it's equal to the gods of Sheba and any other god that she knew. No, the queen of Sheba did not pay lip service. The queen of Sheba didn't just go to this house of the Lord just because she had to. Somebody's pushing the queen. No, listen to what she did. She opened her mouth and praised the Lord, the God of heaven. And that day, my friend, she learned that there is a God in heaven worthy of all praises and adorations. Look at verse number 9. Let's read together verse number 9. This is not lip service, my friend. This is a woman who never knew God. But she lifts up her voice now, saying in verse number 9, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, and he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness." Now, a foreign woman understands justice and righteousness. Only people who are born of God will understand righteousness. And she says here, "Blessed be the Lord who gives people righteousness." She made a right choice. But what I'm trying to bring to you is that wisdom leads to the praise of the Lord. She was wise. She praised the Lord. Do you praise the Lord? Why do you praise the Lord? In other words, do you give thanks to God? You praise the Lord for the things that he has done. Has he done something for you? I think he has done something for you. Have you praised the Lord? The question is, my friend, have you done like the Queen of Sheba? Do you have wisdom that leads to the praise of God? Do you have wisdom that leads you to come and see this king, the king who will not send you home empty-handed? The king will send you home with blessings and praises overwhelming your soul. But thirdly, not only does true wisdom shine forth the name of the Lord, not only does true wisdom lead to the praises of God, true wisdom, friends, cannot be fully comprehended. True wisdom, friends, cannot be fully grasped. If it is divine wisdom, it cannot be fully comprehended. In verse number 7, look at verse number 7 in your Bible. The Queen of Sheba says in verse number 7, part of verse 7, "But I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes have seen it. And behold," listen to these words, "the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpasses the reports I heard." In other words, there's a half that was not told her. There is something that was happening with Solomon or by the court of Solomon that was not told her. She only had to come and see it. And I want to show you, my friends, that there is something that is not yet told, or a half that is not yet being told this in this passage as well. Even though she came and was satisfied by the wisdom of Solomon, but I'm saying again, there is a half that is not yet told. And that now comes to me and you, not her. There is a half that is not told. There is a man greater and wiser than Solomon that she was not told about, although she believed. There is a half that is not explained or revealed as we read there for me and you, so that me and you can see that Solomon was not actually the wisest man ever lived. There is a half that is not told. And I'm saying there is that man who's greater and wiser than Solomon. The same man in whose hands derives the wisdom of Solomon, the King of glory, the Lord of lords, who sits enthroned in heaven. The one who once walked the dusty streets of this world, full of wisdom, full of truth. Listen to his words. The very man I'm talking about. Listen to him, what he says, referring to this incident of the Queen of Sheba and Solomon. Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew 12 verse 42. Jesus rebuking this generation of unbelievers, a generation who wants to see miracles and wonders, a generation who will not see Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus is rebuking them. He's saying, you want to see something great, but let me tell you something. Verse number 42. The Queen of Sheba will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why? For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. But take note, my friend. And now something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus says something greater than Solomon is here, pointing to himself. He says the Queen of Sheba was better than this unbelieving generation. She traveled to the ends of the world to listen and hear. What about you and me? What about you, my friend, listening to the wisdom that comes from Jesus, because he is the one greater than Solomon. Jesus says on the last day, she will not be found with the generation of unbelievers. The person who went and drove to the ends of the world seeking for true wisdom, seeking for divine wisdom, seeking for the King of Israel, the true King of Israel, a person who has not done that will not be found standing in the generation that is cursed. She will be standing on the opposite side, condemning the generation, telling them that I didn't even hear about Jesus, I didn't know about Jesus, but yet I believe that there is a God in heaven who gives wisdom, and abundantly so. I believed and I praised him. I call on his name. What about us, having known the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus says, now something greater than Solomon is here. The half, my friend, was not told. I'm saying the half now is told to you. It was not told. It is told to you. It is told in this generation. There is one man. There is one mediator between man and God, the wiser and greater man, greater than Solomon. Jesus is the greatest man. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he is the wisdom of God. He is the true peacemaker, the Son of the living God, who made peace between God and man. In his death, he brought together God and man, a sinful man, a holy God, bringing them together, raising the sinful man to righteousness, because he's greater and wiser than Solomon. He brought many souls to be at peace with God. He made many simple wise. And friends, he is, as I've been saying, greater than Solomon. We know that. We believe that, but even so, we can still not fully comprehend. We can still not fully grasp the Lord Jesus Christ. We can study Solomon and understand him, but Jesus Christ, the more we study, is the more we want to study. We cannot fully comprehend his wisdom. We do not know how he runs and governs the world. We do not know how he upholds all things together. We do not know how his spirit moves us and convincing us of sin and reveal him through his word, or creating faith in us. We do not know how this saving faith to us he did impart. We do not know how believing in his word brings forth peace and salvation within our hearts. We do not know, because we cannot fully comprehend it. It takes our breath away. it takes mine, it should take yours, that there's a king like that who does all these things every minute, every hour. The one who does not sleep nor slumber. He is more richer than you ever heard. He's more wiser than you ever heard. He will give you more than what you might try to give to him. He will give you more blessings than the queen of Sheba who went home with blessings. He will set you on a path that you never dreamed of, a path of righteousness. He will touch you with a gently and wonderful, kind touch, a touch that you have never been touched with before. And you will be compelled, my friends, to sing and say praises like the queen of Sheba in verse number 6. Behold, the half was not told to me until I came to him. This experience, I was never informed. I did not know. I shall not want. I did not know I will be laid down on green pastures. I did not know that he will lead me beside still waters. I did not know that even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. I did not know until I came to him. The half was not told. Unlike coming to Solomon, as the queen of Sheba did, when you come to this king, you bring nothing in your hands. The queen of Sheba in verse 2, she brought spices and all the gifts. When you come to this king, you bring nothing. You say, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to your cross I cling. He does not accept you because you bring something. He accepts you because you bring your heart and nothing else but your heart. Those who seek him while he may still be found, those who call upon him while he is still near, he throws them from the garbage of sin. He throws them out of the midst of chaos and disorder, from families, from different tribes and generations, and bring them together and made them his sons and daughters, causing them to believe the gospel of grace and be saved. Friends, that is the wisdom you should be seeking for. Christ, the wisdom of God. And for you to experience this wisdom, you need to step out of your comfort zone. You need to leave your country and your kindred, as it were. You need to settle on your own donkey, as it were. You need to make it to this king. You need to come and see his wisdom. You need to stand up where you are and come forth to him and raise your voice to him. Lift up your eyes unto him. Lord, I need you. Lord, come into my life. You need to step forth like the queen of Sheba. Unlike the table of Solomon, where the king and the queen sat, our king, the Lord, prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil until our cups overflows. And then you are able to look at him and say to him, once your enemies now seated at your table, thank you, Jesus. Your enemies you have made your friends, pouring out the riches of your grace unto the world. Your mercy and your kindness knows no end. You are the wisdom of God. Your wisdom exceeds your fame. It shines forth the name of the Lord. It leads me to the praises of God. It is so marvelous, I cannot fully comprehend it, yet you bless me. Let me close like this, my friends. Solomon, the wise king, loved the Lord. Though he was rich, yet he showed spiritual poverty, and he worshipped the Lord before strangers. Did you hear those words? He was better than me and you. He was rich, yet he loved the Lord. He showed spiritual poverty, and he worshipped the Lord before strangers. His riches and fame did not give him pride, but he humbled himself before God. And in his wisdom, the name of the Lord, the name concerning God, was known. You need to make sure that the name concerning the Lord is known in your generation. And that is true wisdom. The queen of Sheba was also a wise woman. She would rather travel for days, travel to a foreign land to see and hear concerning the name of the Lord. You don't even travel that far. But why will you not travel to hear concerning the name of the Lord? And at the end of the day, she just wanted to hear concerning the name of the Lord. At the end of the day, her life was changed. Not only was her breath taken away, but her soul was captured by the grace of God. She worshipped the Lord. She praised the God on high. She lifted up her eyes and says, "Praise be to God and the Lord of this King." We are saying praise to be God and the Lord of our Lord and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. She showed wisdom exceeding her fame. Today we know her, she's famous, but we know her because her wisdom exceeded her fame. So be like her. Come to see, and the King will reveal himself to you in a very special way. You will not go home empty-handed because it's near to you. You don't have to travel lengthy journeys or over difficult terrains. You don't have to bring anything. Come as you are. Come as you are. For his blood was shed for you. On that cross he died for you, to raise you up from your spiritual death, that you may worship him and praise him forever, that you may glorify him, that you may glory in him. Have you asked the Lord for such wisdom? A wisdom that shines forth the name of the Lord. A wisdom that leads to the praise of God. A wisdom that you cannot comprehend. So, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives graciously to all without reproach, and it will be given him abundantly. Let us pray. We are thankful, O God. Thank you even this morning for reminding us of true wisdom. Wisdom that points us to you. Wisdom that brings forth praises unto you. Wisdom that leaves us breathless. The wisdom of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, this morning for reminding us of what to seek for as the world go out of their way seeking for fame. May we know that wisdom exceeds fame, that we may seek for wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of eternal covenant, equip you with everything that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. We all say amen.
Amen.
Siyabonga bazalwane, sizobonana ngokuzayo.